since the Holy Spirit is our guarantee that God will soon give us glorious eternal resurrection bodies, we can be, you can be, I can be encouraged today and make it our aim then to please Him now in every way.
Building mature followers of Jesus Christ, Wonder Lake Bible Church.
Well, folks, as we continue in our series in 1 Corinthians here, we've been talking about this theme here of not losing heart. How in the scriptures, in 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul has laid out reasons for us for why we can be encouraged, why we can be hopeful. A number of these reasons, and maybe you're feeling, maybe you're one who is maybe feeling like you're in danger of losing heart. But I want to encourage you today with this truth that we do not need to lose heart. Why? Well, we do not need to lose heart because, as we've seen, what? As we gaze upon the glory of God. And isn't that a fascinating concept just to behold for a moment? Graze upon the glory of God. But you know what? Maybe that's actually a good mistake. Graze, as we graze upon the glory of God, because we need to chew it over and meditate on the glory of God, don't we? So as we gaze and graze upon the glory of God, we see that we are being transformed into the image of Christ from one degree of glory to another. That is the more that we reflect upon the greatness of God and the glory of God, the more that God works within us to change us and to transform us to be more and more like Him, more and more like Christ. Now, this doesn't mean we're going to be God. God is God, and we are finite creatures. But He is changing us to be more like Him, to be holy as Jesus Christ is holy. And that's a process that's not going to be complete this side of heaven. But one day it will be complete in His presence, won't it? But until then, we can gaze and graze upon the glory of God and marvel as He transforms us from one degree of glory to the other. So that's one reason why we do not need to lose heart. We do not need to lose heart with what we see happening around us, maybe even some things in our own lives. We do not need to lose heart because God is changing us from one degree of glory to another. But there's another reason that we saw then too, that we do not need to lose heart, because though our outer self is wasting away, the body is wasting away, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. That even though the outer self, the body, is wasting away, the inner self, the soul, the spirit, is being renewed day by day. I like a little rhyming poetry there a little bit. Even as the outer is wasting away, our inner is being renewed day by day. Again, as we gaze and graze upon the glory of God, we see how our inner spirit is transformed from one degree of glory to another, and it renews the spirit, it renews our hearts. So we need not lose heart then, because our inner self is being renewed each day. We also saw another reason why we don't need to lose heart. And that is because, again, one of these verses in Scripture that I've told you that I find one of the most amazing concepts in the Scriptures is this truth that says that this light and momentary affliction, our troubles in this life, they certainly don't seem very light and momentary to us, do they? But it's a matter of perspective, that in comparison into the great, heavy, eternal weight of glory, these afflictions now are light and momentary. And in fact, somehow, through them, God is preparing something great and glorious for us that I think is beyond even our imagination. So this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. But you know, there's some other reasons why we need not lose heart, though, too. So we're going to see in our sermon today, and Here's another one. We do not lose heart because the Holy Spirit is our guarantee that God will soon give us glorious, eternal resurrection bodies. And so because of that, we can be encouraged today and make it our aim to please Him now in every way. I'm calling this message today from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. I'm calling it your forever home. Why did I call it that? Well, is anyone here ever like adopted like a rescue pet, a rescue cat or dog or something? And I don't know about you, but I'm one of those people that I dare not even like watch like look at like the animals that are available for adoption. I don't dare look at them because then I want to like, you know, take them all, right? And two, I don't know, sometimes you've seen those commercials for like abused animals, and I just can't even stand to why I have to turn the channel, you know, whenever that comes on with that. But oftentimes, and what you'll see is if you are looking for a pet and you can see these options, these various dogs or cats that are available there, oftentimes they'll say that what that this pet is looking for, it's what? It's forever home. You know, it's forever home. Well, and that's true. They say what? That this would be its new home where it will live out the rest of its life, and we hope in comfort and love, right? Well, see, that animal suffered for a time, perhaps, but now it's looking for its forever home. Well, we also are in a place right now that is not designed to be for forever. And there is a forever home. That forever home is the resurrection body. You know, that we as human beings were not intended to be unclothed. That is, we're not designed or created to be spirits that float around in the ether, but rather we are body and soul spirit beings. But these bodies that we have now are not designed for forever, are they? So we're looking for our forever home, and that forever home is the resurrection body. And the Holy Spirit then now is that even though we groan in these bodies now, the Holy Spirit is the guarantee that God is going to give us glorious, eternal resurrection bodies. And we can take heart, take courage in that, be encouraged today. And because of that, then we make it our aim. Our goal then now is to please the Lord in every way then. So in just a moment then, we want to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. But again, a little context here. One of the things that I find interesting is the story of Paul, the Apostle Paul, is he had a trip. We know him as a great teacher and instructor and the apostle and evangelist, but he also had a trade that he was skilled in, something he had a trade that he worked with his hands, and he made something, he made things with his hand. Does anyone know what the Apostle Paul's trade or skill was? What was it? A tent maker, right? So it's good to have tents today, but how much more so even then? How important was a tent in that time and their culture? Well, someone has to make these tents to take this material, to put it together, to serve as what? As a shelter, a temporary shelter, if you will. But a tent was never intended or designed to be a home, right? It's a temporary dwelling. And I know we have some people here in the church that love to go camping. And raise your hands if you love to go camping. I know, see, here come the hands here. Now, how many of you know from personal experience that I'm not the greatest fan of camping? You know, but I've gone out on, and I've gone camping with some of you. And you know what? I enjoy it because I enjoy spending time with people and the experience. I even like sitting around a fire. Yeah, in fact, I had an opportunity to do that twice this week, on Friday night and then again last night with our teens here for Teen Impact. And there's actually another one coming up later today for the fire department, ironically enough. But So I like to do those things. But in the end, you know, I'm not a big fan of sleeping in a tent, you know, because then you wake up in the morning, it's hot, it's humid, you wake up in the, or it's cold sometimes. You wake up sometimes in the morning and you just, it's like it's wet, like you, you know, and the ground is wet and that. See, for me, as you know, my idea of roughing it is a hotel without cable, right? And so, anyway, but I endure for the fellowship with people and the experience around the campfire, all of that. Well, you see, Paul, then, where am I going with this? What am I saying? Paul was a tent maker. Paul made these temporary homes. And now we've been seeing how he's laying out the reason why we can be encouraged and take heart and have hope. So with that, then, listen to what he says here, then, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting at verse 1, he says, "For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on, we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So, we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So, whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil." So here we see this temporary tent, is going to be refashioned to an eternal building. So this tent is what? It's a metaphor for the body, these bodies that we have now, these bodies that have been affected by the fall into sin, these bodies that are mortal, these bodies that are frail, these bodies that get sick, these bodies that can be hurt, these bodies that die. So he says, so if this tent, if this mortal body that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now, it's really not a question of if there, is it? It's not a question of if this earthly body, this earthly tent is destroyed. It's a certainty, isn't it? But he's saying, but if it is, that is, or more appropriately, what? When it is, and it will be, when it is destroyed, when it dies, and it will, how many earthly bodies have died in human history? All of them except for, well, two, actually. Enoch and Elijah, right? They were just instantly transferred. Wouldn't that be nice? You know, like Enoch and Elijah, how they didn't die. They were just, what, taken up into heaven? They never faced physical death? Well, there are some. There's an entire generation that will not physically die. Who is that?
Hopefully us.
Hopefully us, someone said, right? But that generation, what, of believers that is alive when Christ comes, and they will be what? Caught up, raptured to meet the Lord in the air. But otherwise, everyone else up to this point, except Enoch and Elijah, even Jesus died, didn't he? So everyone has died, and everyone except that generation that's alive when Christ returns, the earthly body will, this tent will be destroyed. But that's not the end of us. It's not the end of us. It's not the end of the body even, is it? No, because when it is destroyed, we have something better. Something better. See, when this earthly tent is destroyed, we have an eternal building from God, which is what? The resurrection body. The resurrection body. By the way, I love that little image on the front of the bulletin. If you saw that, I was looking for a good image to put on there, and I was looking at it, and I saw it, and I thought, isn't that a kind of a cool way of representing the resurrection body there? That here is this almost Da Vinci-esque type body there, and you see this glorious power and light surrounding it, and it's being glorified. See, that's what God is going to do. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what God is going to do for you. He's going to transform and glorify that body into a body that will serve you forever. No more doctor appointments. Sorry, Dr. Dave, we love you, but we don't want to see you after the resurrection. Well, actually, we still want to see you. We just don't want your professional services, you see, and that. So we're not going to need doctors, are we? Because we're not going to be sick. We'll not die. Glorious and immortal. It is an eternal resurrection body. And it's not made with our hands. It's not like tents fashioned with hands, but it's by the power of God, eternal in the heavens. And then he tells us something here that I think we can all relate to one degree or another. He says, what? For in this tent, in these bodies, we do what? We groan. We groan. Isn't that something? Groaning. Why? Because of the pain and the difficulties, the limitations, the effects of sin on the body. And it's not just our bodies that cause us to groan. I think what that groaning, it's not just a physical groaning of pain or disease or decay. I think it's a groaning of the spirit, of the heart as well, isn't it? We groan because of the way this world is. Now, we have hope, but we also groan, though, too, don't we? We also groan because of physical pain, because of emotional pain, because of spiritual pain. There are all kinds of things that can cause us to groan in this tent. And sometimes it's even just a very, very little thing that can cause us to groan in these tents. Even a little thing like, oh, say, potassium levels. Because I know there's a member of our church family here that just had some problems right there. Because there was a problem with his potassium levels and all the difficulty that was causing him. And he has to deal with that now. Told you I'd shout out to you there. We groan in these earthly bodies, physically, emotionally, spiritually. It says what? And we long to put on our heavenly dwelling. It says, it's not that we want to be unclothed. It's not that we want to escape from the body and not have a body at all. It's that what? We want this body to be transformed or changed. We long to put on our heavenly dwelling, to take off this and put on the new resurrection body. It says, we don't want to be found naked, but rather we want to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. So as I said, God has not made human beings to be spirits only. And God didn't just say, and sometimes even Christians don't realize this, they think about this, is that, well, God saves us and then we die. You know, the body goes in the ground and then, well, then we're like these spirits and we'll live forever with God in heaven. And that's not the biblical teaching, is it? I think yes, as we do go to be with the Lord when we die, our spirits, but that's not the end, is it? The body is going to be resurrected, the spirit reunited with the body, and we will live forever in a resurrection body on a new earth. That's the biblical picture there of what God is doing. So we don't want to be found naked, but rather God has redeemed not only our souls, God has redeemed our bodies as well in Christ Jesus. Not unclothed, but further clothed. The mortal body swallowed up by life. And as I read that, I can't help but think of that wonderful passage in 1 Corinthians 15. You know, 1 Corinthians 15 is one of my favorite chapters in the Scripture. It really is. Now, I know when I keep saying it really is for a lot of things, you know, but this one, it really is one of my favorite chapters, 1 Corinthians 15, because isn't that a wonderful passage about the resurrection, about the hope that we have in Christ in the resurrection, and how what? This mortality, this mortal, is being swallowed up by the immortal. Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? No, but this has been swallowed up by life in Christ. Well, that sounds great, Pastor. How do you know that? I mean, that's way off in the future somewhere, isn't it? Well, actually, it might be a lot sooner than we think. But it is going to happen. And how do you know that? Well, because the one who promised it is trustworthy, and he has given us something to serve as a reassurance or a promise that this is true, and that everything that he has promised is true, and that he is going to fulfill all of those promises. What is that promise? What is that guarantee that God has given us that he's going to finish what he's begun, that he's going to do exactly all of this and more for us? The Holy Spirit, right? So the Spirit is our guarantee. God proves the trustworthiness of his promises by giving us the Holy Spirit now. And you see, the Holy Spirit has many different purposes, many different ministries to us that he fulfills in us and through us. But one of those ministries, one of those purposes that God has in giving us, believers, the Holy Spirit, is God's way of saying, I'm going to finish what I started. You know, there's a good friend of mine. I just saw him. This was this bonfire I had Friday night. So this good friend, he's a very, very talented and skilled man. And he likes to work on various projects, but he has a tendency sometimes to put forth a grand project and start the project. Finishing it might not always be the case. So one of the things, and of course, because we're all such loving and gentle and kind, caring friends, we never give him a hard time about the things that he starts and doesn't finish, right? And of course, I know that he's the only one in this room that starts things but doesn't finish them, right? And I know that I've never done that. I've never started something and not finished it. But we like to give him a hard time for some of the things that he starts but does not finish. And so one of them that's been a classic for, this is hard to believe now, I think going on about 20 years now, okay, is this beautiful spiral staircase that he was building in his house. He put an addition on the house. He did a really nice job with it. But then part of the plan there was to have this beautiful spiral staircase from one level to the next. And for a long time, about 15 years actually, there was a ladder. So you'd go in the living room, and then over in the corner, there's a ladder. So if you wanted to go up to the next level, you had to climb the ladder up to the next level. And his wife, you see, one of the rooms up there in this upper level was intended to be like her place, where she loves to do crafts and that. And so she would have a little place up there where she has all of her crafts, and she loves photographs, taking pictures and putting photo book memories together and all of that. And so here's this poor wife who's having to climb up and down this ladder to get up there. So you can see why we'd like to give him a hard time and make fun of him, right? So anyway, by the way, his wife is the same person I told you last week about the one with the, like the text message that she was depressed about. One of the Cubs struck out, and I knew, of course, that they were going to win the game in the next inning because she was watching the game on delay on the DVR, right? So anyway, so she's had to endure a lot between suffering over the Cubs and then this climbing this ladder for 15 years here. That. So we've been giving him a hard time about this. Well, finally, about 5 years ago, the ladder went away, and it was replaced by, like, the beginnings of a staircase, but it wasn't complete. You could use it, but you had to be ready. It wasn't all completely done yet. So then it was like that for a few years. And then just in the last year, it's actually, he's getting close to being done with it. Okay. Now, there's some other projects that I suspect are probably never going to be finished there, which is probably true of all of us in some ways. We're going to be honest, right? But you see, God is not like that. When God says he's going to do something, he does it. God leaves nothing half done, nothing unfinished. And so this hope of the resurrection body, it's in process right now. But God wants you and me to know that it's going to be done. The Holy Spirit's the ladder right now, which is a promise that it's going to get done. But unlike we limited finite beings, what God says really absolutely always will happen. It's not always the case with us, right? But God will finish what he started. And that guarantee of that is the Holy Spirit who lives within you. He will complete what he has begun. And in one of my favorite chapters in Scripture, Romans 8, says what? The Spirit is this guarantee that what? He testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. I think this is one of those things that can be kind of difficult to explain maybe to someone who does not know Christ, does not have the Spirit. But if you know Christ, if you're growing in him, you have the Holy Spirit as a believer in Jesus Christ. You know what Paul is talking about when he says the Holy Spirit testifies with our spirit, don't you? The Spirit is the guarantee that God will finish what he has started. And then he says, "What we would rather be away from the body and present with the Lord." Is who here, if you had the choice, would you like to be able to snap your fingers and be done with this life and this world and be with the Lord right now? Absolutely. If you're a little younger, maybe not. I know that. I get that. But trust me, after a few more years, you'll start to feel like you kind of would like that, actually. So it says, so we can be of good courage. But, you know, while we are in the body, while we're in these earthly tents, we are away from the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that God isn't with us. Of course, he's with us. It just means that we are not with him in the sense, in the way that we will be with him, glorified in his presence. So when we are away from the body, we will be present. We will be at home with him in his presence. Well, how do you know that? Can you be sure? Well, he says, for what? For we walk by faith, not by sight. This is something we embrace by faith, that what God has said is true, that he is trustworthy. So when we are away from these bodies, we are what? Present with the Lord. And that's a wonderful hope, isn't it? So because of this hope, we can take courage. And right now, we can make it our aim, make it our goal. What we're living for is to please the Lord. And what I find interesting about that, you know, when we think of pleasing the Lord, we tend to think of the here and the now, what we do here now to please the Lord. And that's true. This is the time we're living in. But you know, the scripture, I think it's saying that even then, our aim, when we are with the Lord, our aim, our goal is still going to be to do what? To please the Lord. Interesting to reflect on, isn't it? Perry says, so whether we are in the body, away from the Lord, or if we are out of the body, away from the body, present with the Lord, we make it our aim, our goal to please the Lord. For we must all face, what? The judgment seat of Christ. Now this judgment seat of Christ, what is this? I thought that all of our sin has been judged in Christ, and we will not suffer for our sins. And well, that's true. We will not, because Christ has paid the price of our sin for us. Our sin is forgiven, all of it. But what is this judgment seat of Christ then? Well, that is an evaluation of how we have lived for Christ, what we have done for Christ now. And the purpose of it is reward. It's an evaluation of our lives for the purpose of reward. And so he says, we have this hope, this eternal hope. And so we can be encouraged by that. And we can also then make it our goal, our aim, to please the Lord now, knowing that we will give account for how we have lived for Christ. And in another passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul discusses this judgment seat of Christ there. And he talks about the ways that we build on the foundation, that there's the foundation of our life here now. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12, he says, now if anyone builds on the foundation is Christ. If we build with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest or revealed, for the day, judgment day, will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, the fire of God's judgment. And the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. So saying, it matters what we do in this life, doesn't it? And we are encouraged to build on our lives the foundation of Christ with gold, silver, and precious stones. What? These are things that are honoring to God, pleasing to Him. It's the fruit of righteousness. It's good works done for the glory of Jesus Christ. This is the gold and the silver and the precious stones. And God knows these things, and He will reward those things. But the wood, hay, straw, what's that? These are worthless things. These are things that are not done for God's glory. These are sinful things, selfish things, worthless things. And those will be burned up by the fire of God's judgment. Now, the person will be saved, but what they did will not be rewarded because it wasn't. So we make it our aim then now, what? To please the Lord, to build on that foundation with gold and silver and precious stones. Well, so what? Well, I just want to take us back to where we started here again, and a reminder that what? Since the Holy Spirit is our guarantee that God will soon give us glorious, eternal resurrection bodies, we can be, you can be, I can be encouraged today and make it our aim then to please Him now in every way. So I'd say to you today, what? To be of good courage. I know that life can be painful and frustrating, can it? But we have hope. We groan now in these earthly bodies, but we will receive an eternal resurrection body. So be of good courage and make it your aim, to please the Lord, to live for Christ. Reminds me, there's that old phrase, was like that. It says what? We only live this one life we have, right? But only that which is done for Christ will last. This life soon will be past. Only what is done for Christ will last. So are you living to please the Lord, honor Him, build on that foundation with gold and silver and precious stones. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for that eternal hope that we have in Jesus Christ, the hope of the resurrection body, and for the Holy Spirit whom You have given as a guarantee or a promise that You will complete the good work that You have begun in us. That, Lord, You will raise these mortal bodies, fashion them anew, remaking them in the image of Your glorious resurrection body of Jesus, so that our forever home, this eternal dwelling place, this eternal, we will be suited for living forever in these bodies. Thank You for that hope. May we be of good courage today, and may we make it our aim then, Lord, to please You now in every way. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.